This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Okay, we do have some action to be taken, Representative Dryden.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The rules, because the agenda was not posted 48 hours ahead, we have to, by Rule 7-1.5, we need to invoke, and it says, consideration of matters not posted, a two-thirds majority of the committee present may bring a matter up for consideration at any time. So I, therefore, would move, suspend, move Rule 7-1.5.
Second by Ramgama. Any discussion?
Other than it needs a two-thirds roll call vote to bring the matter up on today's agenda.
Okay, and for those who are listening, if there is any, we thought that this had to deal with crossover. There was a mix-up on it. So this is... This agenda was posted yesterday, so it didn't have the 2 days. But we're going to bring it up, and we are not going to take any action on this bill today. We're going to hear testimony. We are not going to take any action. So, and I will, due to the circumstances, I will allow public testimony when we do recalendar it. So, with that, I believe this is a roll call vote. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Bardot, excused. Ring?
Aye.
Hanhoff?
Aye.
Partridge?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Ramkema?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Dryden?
Aye.
Cronin?
Aye.
8 yeas and 1 excused.
All right. Thank you very much. We will stand at ease. All right. House appropriations will come to order. At this time, I would like to bring up Senate Bill 132. An act to revise certain provisions regarding education funding. Are there any proponents for Senate Bill 132?
Good morning, Mr.
Good
Chair.
Good morning.
Members of the committee. I'm Tammy Dernall with Department of Education, and I come here today to ask for your support of Senate Bill 132. Just a brief background of where Senate Bill 132 came from. As we were drafting the bills for the governor's teacher pay plan, particularly Senate Bill 131, we started to go through and read through the statutes, especially 1313, and we realized that there are a lot of sections in there that had outdated language or obsolete programs, and so we decided that we need to clean those up too. However, Senate Bill 131 is already so large that we didn't want to bog it down with some of this language that wasn't really related to the teacher pay plan, but that still needed to be cleaned up. And therefore, we are bringing forward this separate bill. So I'm going to go ahead and go through the sections of the bill briefly. If you look at sections 1-5 of the bill, those repeal statutes that are in reference to the consolidation incentives for the school districts. That program was sunset during the 2010 legislative session, and it became available at that time to only school districts that had consolidated prior to July 1, 2007. Because of that, the last of the incentives was paid out in FY 2014. So this program is over, it's sunsetted, so the language is no longer needed. So we're asking that be repealed. Section 6 removes obsolete language regarding accounting for impact aid revenues. I want to assure you this does nothing to change the way that the school districts handle their impact aid funds right now. Prior to the changes in GASB, impact aid was not recognized as a revenue fund, rather it was an agency fund. So in order for us to recognize those revenues when they're transferred into the general fund, we needed to have the statute, the language in the statute in place. However, with the changes in GASB, impact aid is now a revenue fund, so we collect the data and we do recognize that fund, so that language is no longer needed. Again, it does nothing to change anything that school districts are currently doing with impact aid. Section 7 repeals language that requires school districts to employ only properly qualified teachers to receive state aid. If you have a statute book with you and you look at the very next statute after that one, 13-13-18, it states that school districts have to be accredited to receive state aid, which means that school districts have to have properly qualified teachers to be accredited. Therefore, this language is duplicative, and it's also causing a little bit of confusion in our school districts. So we're just requesting that be repealed, since there's already language that the school districts have to be accredited and meet the accreditation requirements. I'm going to skip over sections 8 through 10 really quick and go to section 9. Section 9 is also cleanup language, and that happened when we did a search for average daily membership language. If you look at Senate Bill 131, we are repealing that average daily membership language. And when we searched for that, we realized that within the state aid to special education statute, there's still a reference for average daily membership that should have been changed to fall enrollment when we made the whole switch to fall enrollment. So we're just asking that that be cleaned up. And finally, sections 8 through 10. These statutes are being revised to change the distribution of the workforce education fund dollars that remain after the CTE distribution. So really quick on those workforce education fund dollars, remember anything over $1 million up to 1.5 of that is distributed to CTE programs. Starting in FY17, the LEP adjustment is no longer part of the workforce education fund. We're doing that funding swap to general funds. So now we have the 1.5 for CTE programs. And if there's still a balance remaining over $1 million, then right now the language says that funds to be distributed to school districts on a pro rata basis based on their fall enrollment. So if you look at it for FY16, we have about $76,000 to distribute. That's 60 cents a student. Next year, we're estimating that we'll have about $2.1 million, which is about $15 per student, so that's a little bit more. But the year after that, there's a very good chance that we'll be nothing again. So those of you with some history of the legislature, remember how we went through the whole thing with school districts? It's one-time money, nothing, one-time money, nothing, that whole roller coaster. And we worked with the school districts to get off that roller coaster and to bring everything into the formula. This would put us back on that roller coaster. So what we're requesting instead is that those dollars be changed to be appropriated to the Department of Education with the approval of the legislature for the program for one-time education enhancement programs. So this year, I'm sure you heard, we've talked about using that for the Native American Advisory Council recommendations there. So it would be about $2.1 million in FY17. When there's dollars available, again, we would come forward and say, hey, there's some money forward. We might have a proposal, or we might ask you what you want to do with it, but it would be with the approval of the legislature. So with that, I will stand by for any questions, and I ask that you support Senate Bill 132. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Darnell. Are there any further proponents on Senate Bill 132? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 132? Okay. Are there questions of the committee? Representative Partridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Darnell, just kind of a general question that this sparked with regard to some of the GASB rules and some of the things that are changing. Do you see that within the department causing more headache, and looking out, is it something that we have to, you know, potentially plan for regarding FTEs and workload and things like that? Kind of thinking along the lines of the school lunch, where it's like, great free lunch from the feds, except we got to hire more people to administer it type deal. Can you kind of shed some light on it with regard to just maybe this applies to some of that, but overall I'm just kind of looking into the future saying, what do we have to plan and prepare for as it relates to some of these different ruling?
Okay, Mr. Chair. I don't know that I would say a lot of the changes in GASB itself are causing us a lot of work. It's just some shifts. You know, if you look at what's going on with the super circular changes and stuff like that and the internal controls, I'll be honest, I have some concerns. We're trying to manage it the best we can, but there is a lot more oversight and internal controls coming down the road that we have to look at, and we're trying to figure out how to do it.
Any other questions from the committee? All right. Seeing none, thank you. With that, is there any committee action and or discussion? Representative Dryden.
You want to act on it today? Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move due pass on Senate Bill 132.
Second.
Moved by Dryden, seconded by Partridge. Any remarks?
No, I think we can move ahead with this bill. I don't think there's any reason not to. Send it to the floor. Thank you.
All right. With that, I have flip-flopped and changed my mind. We will take action on this today. This bill is pretty straightforward, and I got to be honest, if Ms. Darnell is comfortable with this, I think everybody in the state of South Dakota should be comfortable with the changes, because she knows more about this stuff than anyone on earth. And the fact that we stopped her from walking her dog this morning to come up here, I think we owe her a little bit of gratitude. So with that, the motion before us is a due pass on Senate Bill 132. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. All opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bordeaux excused. Ring?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Partridge?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Ramkema?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Dryden?
Aye.
Cronin?
Aye.
8 yeas and 1 excused.
Senate Bill 132 will go to the floor with a due pass motion. Anything else come before the committee? Seeing none, Representative Ring.
Mr. Chairman, I move we adjourn.
Second by Jensen. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. We are adjourned.